Now, things like that happen all the time. Raise your hand if you ever have someone come up to you and fix something on your collar or do tell you you need to straighten your tie or something like that. Yeah. So children, actually God teaches us about this in His Word, and it's a very excellent message that Auntie Lee Chan just showed us. And I'm going to open up the mailbox today and see what God has to say to us about that, okay? Oh, in Ephesians 4:15 it says, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Speaking the truth in love. And so just like Auntie Lee Chan was helping me and fixing my collar because it needed to be straightened, she came to me speaking in love to help me so that I could have my collar looking right. And sometimes we don't like it when people come up to us and tell us we need to fix something. Right? We feel embarrassed when we get advice from people or they're trying to tell us something that is good for us. But God told us in His Word today that we are to speak the truth in love. And so when we lovingly help one another to see things that we need to fix, then we can trust that God is going to help us to grow up in every way into Him who is our head, into Christ. And so the next time that someone comes up to you and fixes your collar or tells you that you need to do something maybe that you're doing wrong in your life, and they notice that maybe you're using a word in your language that isn't nice, or maybe you're doing something else that isn't right, and they come and they tell you about it in love, then rejoice and be happy for it. Be thankful to them for helping you to be able to see that you had something that needed to be fixed. And you will grow as a result of that in your walk with Jesus Christ. Let's pray together, and I'll also pray for the illumination of God's Word. God, we thank You that You send people into our lives who care about us and speak to us about the truth in love. They love us so much that they would help us to see that we're doing something wrong. Maybe we're committing a sin that You're wanting to bring to our attention. And we don't like to hear those kind of things because we're prideful, and we feel like we're doing well without that kind of help. But Lord, we pray in thanksgiving to You that You are the one that speaks to us through other people in our lives, and that we can hear Your voice through their voice, and that we can understand that You want us to grow. And so help the children today to remember the next time You, through someone else, reminds them of something that they need to fix in their lives, that it's the love of God being spoken in truth so that they can grow. And we pray, Father, that You'll bless them as they go for their worship now, that they will be filled with the joy of knowing that You love them so much. And we pray also now, Lord, for Your servant who reads the Scripture to us, that we would open our ears and open our eyes to see You more clearly. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, brother and sister. Today's scripture is in Job chapter 42, verse 5. And then the second scripture is in Mark chapter 10, 46 to 52. Job 42, verse 5. I had heard of you by hearing of the ear. But now my eyes sees you. Mark 42 to 52. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, and he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many reproached him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called him the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. and fell off his cloak, and he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. This is the word of the God. Thanks be to God.
It's good to be back home. Missed being here last week. We were actually on Zoom, and we enjoyed being on Zoom. I don't think I've watched a Zoom service or been a part of a Zoom service for years now. It seems so strange, right? We've been going through years of change in this world in so many different ways. It actually touched my heart to be able to see all of you on that Zoom call and to be a part of the service that way. While we were away on vacation. And really does point out to you that you are family and that you have this connection with one another. And we're thankful for that. We're also thankful for the church allowing us to have some time off to take in nature and things around us, take walks, and to enjoy one another's company. Lee-chan doesn't always fix my collar. She's my friend, and we enjoyed the time together. We are back now, and I feel a little bit like I have been away, and I came back, and I'm trying to find my voice a little bit. You'll have to be patient with me today. But I have something important to share with you from God's Word. It's definitely something that He wants for us to know and to be challenged by and also to receive with great rejoicing. We can trust in Him, that He loves us, that He looks and fixes our collar in our lives to help us so that we will grow in many different ways. And we have such a caring God that way. There's two verses here, that have two sections of verses, one in Job that we had in the lectionary this week that Chris just read, and also in the book of Mark. But let me begin by asking you a question. Have you ever had a life-changing moment? Can you think for a moment and think on a day or a time when you had a life-changing moment occur? What was that like? You know, it's good for us to think about those things. I think that life-changing moments are exactly what we see in the book of Job today and also in the book of Mark in two men's lives. One of them was Job. He was a man who was righteous. He had lived close to God and was an example to the community around him of what a God-fearing man looked like. He prayed for his children every day that they would not fall into sin. He was righteous before God, and God was proud of him. And then in a very unusual way, God shows us an example of how He can even deepen the faith of Job through the trials that he went through and speak to us through his life. He lost everything short of his life, of his own life, his possessions, his children, he had acquired a great wealth. He was a wealthy man. He was afflicted with sores on his body, boils that were painful and caused him so much pain and so much of being an outcast that he had to go and sit outside of the city where he would be alone to suffer. And this was a righteous man, right? But then he says these words. He had at the end of all of these things, when this came to a head and he was questioning God and talking to God and saying, "Why have you allowed this to happen to me?" We hear this response from him after God had told him who he was, that "I am God Almighty. I have made all things. I am in control of the universe. And so you must know that in all these things that have happened to you, that I am sovereign God, and that you don't have to lose your faith or trust in me." And so Job says, as a result of going through all of those terrible things and suffering, he says now in verse 5 of chapter 42, "I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you." This is a life-changing moment in his life. Let me read it again. I had heard of you by hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. And so in this moment, he saw God in a real way that he had not previously seen him. He had spoken of him. He had talked about him. He had heard him, but now he sees him in a new way. Now my eye sees you. It was a deeper relationship than he previously had. And it was a man who had lost everything. But in the midst of all that suffering, he could see great hope was there because God had spoken to him in a way that brought his relationship even deeper. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. That's why he's giving us this verse today. Isn't that wonderful? That God desires also in our own lives. We're going through things. We're going through, you know, many different things in our lives, facing different challenges each day, you know. God is there for us. He is sovereign. He uses those moments, those things that we go through, to take us into an even deeper relationship with him. And so we can take hope in that and be revived and renewed by these words today that God has spoken through Job. There's another great lesson that is through a man who is blind. His name is Bartimaeus. I always loved this story. I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that I read a children's Bible, and they had such a vivid illustrations of this man and telling the story with illustrations in the book. You know, children's books are incredibly important, not only for children, but for all of us. You know, you're reading a book to a child, and you're pointing it out, and you're teaching them the words, and your things, and actually you yourself are learning in the process along with your child, and it's like, actually, it probably means more to the person reading it than the one who's hearing it. But in the end, it's the word of God being spoken through these illustrations and through the words that are written down for children that we can also understand things well. So I highly recommend reading children's books and reading to children and being in the children's ministry, immensely important as we grow up to be hearing these things and to have loving teachers who show us these things. So anyway, the story is a very important moment in the life of Bartimaeus. Right? We just heard this read to us. I'll just review it shortly and we can walk through these things and I'll make a few points about it. They came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples, this is Jesus, of course, Bartimaeus and a great crowd of people following, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. So we can see this picture, right, of a blind man who is sitting there, and he's there all the time, right? Perhaps you have had the experience when you go somewhere like New York City and you can see people who are begging and they're there every day. We see them in that moment, that day, but they're there every day. That's their life. They're begging. They're asking for money. They want to hear these things. So it becomes, for people who walk by them, probably somewhat of an annoyance. Or it gives them a guilty conscience. You know, there's something at work there. But this was such a man who was blind, and he was begging for money from people who would pass by. And the people that we're going to meet now give us a better understanding of that kind of situation. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth walking by, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, have mercy on me." Right, so this is something different from his usual kind of a begging kind of a situation where he's saying, "Give to the blind, give to the blind, give to the poor. Can you spare some money? Can you give me a dime? Can you give me a quarter? Can you give me any change?" You know, those kind of people. And he was saying that. But this time he said specifically, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And in the Son of David, we hear a messianic name. That is one that is talking about the Messiah that comes from the line of David, which was Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of question as to whether he really fully understand who Jesus was, you know, whether he really thought in his heart of hearts that he was the Messiah, but he was saying that because he had heard that Jesus was referred to this way. It's also God's way of teaching us in this story who Jesus is. But not everyone recognized Jesus as being the Messiah. But this blind man, and this is very important, this beggar, a blind man, was calling out to Jesus and asking him for mercy. And then what happened? Many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. What do you do when you see a person who is begging and asking for money? You say, no, I don't have any. And actually, you may have a lot of money on you, but you say, no, I don't have any, right? You're just like, I don't want to deal with this. I have to go somewhere. You know, all these different kind of things going on. So these people were probably thinking the same thing. Be quiet, be quiet. You're always asking for money. You know, they have this attitude toward this man in this kind of a way. But he was shouting out for mercy. Many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. Be quiet. Don't bother Jesus. But he cried out all the more. He was persevering. Son of David, have mercy on me. So for the second time, he says, Son of David. Right? And this is really the Messiah. And it's important to realize what he was recognizing in Jesus in this way. Have mercy on me. Jesus stops and says, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he's calling you. And it changes completely. All these people who were saying, shut up, don't bother him. Now they're like, go, come on, Jesus wants to talk to you. You know, so they changed in that kind of an instant. It's very unusual that that kind of thing would happen. But they encouraged him. They said, come on, he's calling you. So he throws off his cloak and he springs up and he comes to Jesus. And Jesus says to him, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. Let me recover my sight. So he must have had it at one point, and he lost his sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And he immediately recovered his sight and followed him on the way. That is a life-changing moment, isn't it? That was a life-changing moment. Bartimaeus was there like every day in his life, begging for whatever people could give him so that he could live his life. And everybody was like tired of seeing him. And the disciples come along, and the people that were following him too were like, just shut up. Don't bother the Messiah. He's coming along. You know, Jesus is going by, completely missing the point. And then they go to him and they say, Jesus wants to see you. And so their whole demeanor changes and they become these nice people who are coming and taking him and bringing him there over to Jesus. So there's a lot going on in this story that teaches about ourselves, right? So Bartimaeus called out to Jesus and he said, have mercy on me. So he wasn't looking just for money. Right? He wasn't just looking for money. He was asking for mercy from the Son of David, from Jesus of Nazareth, who he had heard so much about. He wanted more than that. And so Jesus asks him, what do you want me to do for you to instill in him this faith that he's looking for? What is it that you want me to do for you? Right? And that is what Jesus is asking us today, right? What is it you want me to do for you? What is going on in your life? What do you need? What is it that you're in need of more than money, more than other things? What is it that I can come and do for you today? And the man said, I want you to restore my sight. I want to see, right? And so Jesus says to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. He recovered his sight and he followed him on the way. There's a lot of teaching in the Bible, and there's another story about a blind man being healed in the book of Mark a couple chapters earlier that's also in the lectionary for this week and was one of the devotionals. You can take a look at it. It's in chapter 8. So the message that God gives to us in these stories is one of blindness and then being able to see. And so we understand that a physical type of a blindness can help us to be able to see spiritual blindness in our lives. And that is what Jesus is really helping us to look at here, right? And that he's talking to us about today. Just like Job, you remember what he said? He said, I heard you, but now I see you. Right? So there's that moment where God comes into this blindness of Job in some way. And he touches him by his voice and speaks to him into his heart in such a way to help Job to be able to say, now I see you in a whole new light. Now I see you in a deeper way. To me, that's very exciting. I mean, I know that God uses unusual means to teach us these kind of lessons. And just like, you know, you don't want to be told, like, you've got to fix your, or you have stain on your shirt. You know, I mean, these kind of things that we're annoyed by, it can to a certain extent annoying for God to come and tell you you're blind. I mean, it's offensive, right? What do you mean I'm blind? I mean, we talk to each other in our relationships like that all the time, right? What are you doing? You don't know what I'm talking about. You don't understand me. You know, we use this kind of a talk with one another. You know, you don't tell me what to do. But actually, our attitude in life should be one of receiving those things and saying, what you have to say is of great importance to me, and I need to listen to you. And that starts from a very young age, right? That children have to understand when they're being told to do something, it's for their good. But the same thing comes from God through this story of Bartimaeus and Jesus healing him in that kind of a way. He was doing much more in his life than just restoring his physical sight. He was restoring him in faith. He was helping him to grow in his faith. What is it you want me to do for you? He was looking for more in life than just begging and asking for another dime. There are other people that I know that are not like Bartimaeus, that are not interested in the more, right? Oftentimes, I remember going to Penn Station one time, and there was a man there, and we were waiting for a train to be announced. And this guy came up to me, and I mean, he was filthy. He was filthy. His clothes were torn. His pants were falling down. His hands were filthy. His whole demeanor, everything about him was just repulsive. And he was going around all these people, you know, all of us who are well-dressed and have a lot, you know, we're waiting for a train. We're going to get on this train and go back to Jersey. And, you know, that's what we want to be doing. And this man comes and disturbs our life. And he has the nerve to come over and ask us for money. And it got even worse. He comes up to me and he said, can you spare $1 or $5 or $10? And I was like, oh, this guy has a lot of nerve. You know, usually it'll come up, can you spare any change? And this guy comes up to me, asks me for, you know, these kind of, so I gave him $5, and I felt like, oh, that's going to satisfy him. And that's much more than I usually give someone that asks for money like that. And he says to me, you probably have 10. You know, I mean, he was fresh, you know, not in a good way fresh, but I mean, he was being fresh, you know, and a little bit, well, anyway, it doesn't matter what he was trying to do. He was trying to get more money from me, you know. So I said, you asked me for $5, and I gave you $5. So he said, okay. So he went away, and he started going around and making his rounds among all the other people that were waiting for trains. And I never thought I would see him again, because I thought I gave him $5. He should be happy with that. And he came back to me again. He goes, can you spare any money? And I said, I just gave you $5. And he goes, my bad. I'm serious, right? So there are some people, right? I mean, you give them, and I don't even know what he did with the money. And I have a feeling that he probably didn't use it for something that was good for him. But these kind of situations we come into, you know, and they are teaching us something at the same time also, right? But I'm not putting him down and saying that, you know, it's that he did something wrong. I learned a lot through that experience. First of all, there's something very wrong when a person reaches that point in their lives and they have to do something like that. But really at heart, to be able to understand this beggar in Bartimaeus, he was given something that was far greater than money. And he wanted that. And Jesus drew that out from him by asking that question, what do you want me to do for you? And he came to know the Messiah that day. He came to know the Son of God. And Jesus healed him. He healed his sight, his physical sight. He gave him that which he was looking for, but he healed him because he saw faith in this man. He saw faith in this man, and all the others were like saying, don't bother him, missing the point, you know, don't do this, don't do that. And Jesus came to save people like him, right? So we have all kinds of different things that we're learning today about ourselves and how God touches our lives and comes into them in this kind of a way. We need to understand that there is a blindness in us that is not a physical kind, and that we are taught that this blindness can only be healed by Jesus. And he opens up our eyes to see him more clearly, right? To see him more clearly, who he is, so that we can develop our relationship with him and he can develop his relationship with us, right? A little bit earlier in this book of Mark, we meet a man that helps us also to better understand Bartimaeus' case. You remember the man who was rich, and he came up to Jesus, and he said, what do I need to do to receive eternal life? Remember the story? This man comes up to him, and he says, and so Jesus told him the commandments that he needed to follow. And so the rich man was very pleased with himself, and he said, well, I've done all of those things. And so Jesus said, that's great, but there's one thing that you're lacking. And what was that? Sell everything that you own and follow me. Give it to the poor and follow me. And then what did the man do? He went away sad because he was a man of great wealth, right? And so he came to with Jesus with this attitude of, I already am doing the things that you have asked for me. I know what you're going to say. And so I'm doing those things. So now I'm just asking you to reinforce, you know, my goodness and my righteousness so that I can be sure and say that I'm going to go into heaven. But Jesus told his disciples later that it's very, very difficult for a wealthy man to get into heaven. And why would that be? Because they have to give up their wealth to follow him. Right? And so that is what this man is in contrast to Bartimaeus, someone who is not asking in faith. He's just asking for a reassurance. Just tell me I'm doing things right. That's really what I'm looking for. I want you to affirm that I'm doing things in a way that I'm supposed to be doing it. I just want to hear what I want to hear. But Jesus asks Bartimaeus, what is it you want me to do for you? And he tells him, I want to see. And that is what Jesus was looking for. I want to see. I want you to restore my sight. And that is what God is teaching us today, right? Wealth is not going to get it for us. These kind of things are not the way to go. And that is the way of the world. I can buy myself into heaven. I'm of great wealth. I have great wealth and I'm righteous. Job learned the lesson. A wealthy man learned that the way to really truly see in life was to humble himself before God and say, I know that you're sovereign God and I bow before your sovereignty. Have pity on me, Lord. Have mercy on me. And those were the words that Bartimaeus also spoke to Jesus. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, O Lord. And that is the attitude that God is desiring from us. Now, the reason that I chose this section of scripture and this sermon title is because we're in mission month, right? We're in a mission month where we've been learning about missions and learning about how to bring the gospel to other people. How are we going to be able to do all those different things? And there's many different methods of serving, and we've heard many different examples from wonderful people who are serving God as missionaries, how we can evangelize and how we can go out and how we can make a difference. But what I really feel that God wants for us to do on this last Sunday of Mission Month is to understand where it all begins. The most important thing, the key to missions, is for us to have a humble heart before God and understand the meaning of the gospel in our own lives. Each one of us needs to begin there. We can certainly learn a lot by going on a short-term mission trip. We can certainly learn a lot by giving to the poor. We can certainly learn a lot by teaching people the gospel and things like that. But how do you see it? How do you feel about the gospel? What is God saying in your life, right? What do you want him to do for you? so that your faith can grow, so that your relationship can grow more and more deeply with him. That is what God wants from us, right? To open the Bible, to spend some time with him alone, to pray with him, to tell him the things that are on your mind, to ask him what life is about and the things that are going on in your life, to bring meaning into those things. And then you will see and you will experience God in a new way. And that's what we have to do every day. Then we can be effectively sure, right? We can actually be sure and effective in going with the gospel to other people because we know who it is that we serve. We know who it is who has saved our lives, that Jesus is the one, the Messiah. And that is what the Pharisees who would meet Jesus later on in this story after he went to Jerusalem, right, on his way with the disciples and seeing Bartimaeus, he went before Pharisees who were blind. They were blind to the truth. They were only concerned with their own wealth and with their own power. And they saw Jesus, and what did they do? They said, "You're a hypocrite. You are blaspheming, saying that you are the Son of God, the chosen Messiah." But it took a blind man like Bartimaeus to point it out to the people around him. Right? And so this whole theme here is helping us to be able to not only see ourselves, but to see the society that we live in around us. Right? That there is this blindness that is at hand that we live in, this darkness. But Jesus came in with light to illuminate the darkness, to show the darkness up, to see that what is really going on and to bring truth into that. And lovingly tell us through his life, lovingly show us by dying on the cross that he was serious about healing us and giving us sight, giving us lives that count for something. So brothers and sisters, when we think about this, it's not just for mission week, right? Or mission month. It's not just for this mission that we're on as a church to do things, but it is a work that God is doing in each one of our lives. Hallelujah for that. That he loves you, he loves me, he cares about what's going on in our lives, but he uses things that cause us to really flinch and to kind of move away because he's coming into our lives to show us where we need to make changes. But ultimately what happens is that he takes those away from us when we respond to him in the same kind of way that he responds to us with love and open arms, and then we can go without that feeling anymore. That we grow in our faith, that we have this feeling of not looking down on advice from people that come to us, right? You're looking at someone today who was really, exemplifying and living all of those things that I'm describing to you in the blind people. Completely blind. Don't tell me what to do. I know what I'm doing. You know, I know what's best. You know, I don't want to go into all the details. Maybe you can relate, right? That you were at one place in your life at one time, but then Jesus comes in, and yeah, I had to learn tough lessons. Yeah, we have to learn tough lessons. Yes, we do have to go through life in this kind of a way. But God is faithful. He is faithful and just, and he loves us. And that is the way that we need to be shown love. It is not by hearing what we want to hear. That's one of the things that I counsel people who are getting married, right? Do not look for someone who is going to make you look, you know, is going to agree with everything just so that you don't have to have any disagreements, right? Don't look for someone who is just going to reinforce everything that you think as being right. That isn't going to bring any good in a relationship. You grow together. Right? In a relationship, by going through trials, by going through the different things, by not being like-minded, by not always having those things that way. You learn that way. But oftentimes we only seek out people who are going to affirm what we think is being right. Isn't that true? I want to go to people that are going to tell me I'm doing well. I want to go to people that are going to be, you know, and if we hear anything differently, then we're like, oh, I don't want to be around that person because they're telling me things that I need to do to grow. I just want to be told that I'm good, and that's not going to get us anywhere in life. And that's what God does. He comes into our lives to show us the things that we need to do to better our relationship with him so that we can be more and more like Jesus. And so we embrace those things. We say, thank you, God, for coming and showing me this story today so that I can learn through this example that my blindness is awesome, is also evident, but please come in and heal me of my blindness so that I can see you more clearly, so that I can see life and understand the beauty of life that you have intended for me, and that I can share that life with other people so that they will know you as well. And so that's what I wanted to say. So when we do missions, let us come from that perspective, that we would ask God to come into our lives and show us where we need to adjust our thinking and to invite him into those areas of darkness that need his light so that he can help us to grow. Amen.